We value a lot of things in life. We value our family, our friends, our job. We value good food, a good quarterback, a good pair of shoes. We value our privacy, a good night's sleep, a good deal. Yet the question for us today is, do we value the Lord's name? Do we value the Lord's name? And what does valuing the Lord's name even look like? Well, today we're going to take a look at those two questions and see if we can't find the answer as we continue in our summer sermon series, Because of Love, a study of the Ten Commandments. In this series, we've been exploring how the Ten Commandments are overwhelmingly about love. They teach us how to love God, how to love others. The law is given in love. The law is fulfilled in love, and our response to the law should be love. 2 weeks ago, we explored the first commandment, which was about worshiping the right God. Last week, we studied the second commandment, which is about worshiping the right God in the right way. And this week, we're going to take a look at the third commandment. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and open them up this morning to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Again, that's Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. This is the third commandment. It says this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is indeed holy and perfect. And this morning, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us in your truth. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, and a heart to understand and know your truth. Lord, would you help us fall deeper in love with you today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over this past week, Amazon launched an investigation into one of its delivery drivers in the UK. This is because it appears the delivery driver ransacked all of the Amazon packages that they were supposed to be delivering. Amazon was notified of the situation when a pedestrian stumbled upon a large mound of Amazon boxes. All of these boxes had been torn open, emptied of their contents, and dumped in the mud along the roadside. The pedestrian stopped and noticed that these packages were all addressed to different people, which likely pointed to the fact that these packages had been stolen and emptied. Now, here's my question. Why did the criminal not keep the boxes? Why did the criminal not keep the boxes? Now, I'm not talking about the fact that he shouldn't have disposed of them in such a suspicious way, or the fact that the criminal was leading a paper trail to his or her crime. I'm asking, why did the criminal not want to possess the boxes? Why do they not want to keep them? Well, the answer is that the boxes have been emptied of their worth. They've been emptied of their value. For the contents of the boxes have already been taken. So in the eyes of the criminal, the boxes no longer have any value. So the criminal treated them like trash, tossed the boxes in the mud alongside the road. Now it is precisely here where we encounter something very sobering this morning. We have all treated God's name in a similar way to these boxes. Just as these boxes were emptied of their value, of their worth, of their meaning, we have treated God's name as if it too had been emptied of its value, of its worth, of its meaning. We've tossed God's name in the mud or to the side, just like these boxes were thrown to the curb by this criminal. We have not valued God's name. We've used his name flippantly, tritely, disrespectfully, casually, carelessly. In essence, we've taken and used God's name lightly. We have treated it like it has indeed been emptied of all of its majesty, reverence, and worth. So to us, it doesn't matter if we toss it around casually. It doesn't matter if it gets tossed to the side. It doesn't matter if it gets dragged through the mud. Yet this should not be so. It's interesting to find that in the Hebrew, the word for glory is kabod. And kabod has a meaning of weight or burden. So in other words, when we give glory to something, we give it weight. Or in other words, we give it significance. And this is what we're called to do with God's name. We're called to give God's name glory. Or in other words, weight and significance. So instead of emptying God's name and using it lightly, we're called to give God's name weight and significance in our lives. But what does that look like? How are we to value God's name? What does that actually mean to give God's name weight or glory? Well, today our text teaches us three ways that we can give God's name glory. And that is through our words, through our worship, and through our ways. Through our words, through our worship, through our ways. So let's begin by exploring how we are called to give glory to God's name in our words. If you have your Bible still open, let's take a look at our verse again, Exodus chapter 20. Verse 7, which says this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, typically, when we hear or read the third commandment, we typically think about it in relation to our words. And it's true, the third commandment does have a lot to say about the words we use, which is why we're starting here. Yet what we must understand this morning is that the third commandment is actually much broader in its application than we may think. But more on that to come later. So let's begin by examining how the third commandment relates to the words that we use. First of all, it's important to note that the third commandment does not prohibit us from using God's name. For example, Orthodox Jews, they refuse to use or say God's covenantal name, Yahweh, because they fear misusing it. They fear violating the third commandment. But what we must understand is that the name Yahweh is used around 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It's something that God wants us to use. It's something that he encourages us to use. He gives us his name. But he demands that we use his name respectfully and not in a way that is considered vain. Now, what does that word vain mean? Well, the word vain, it means empty, nothing, worthless, to no good purpose or falsehood. So because of this, we're not to use God's name in a manner that makes it empty, nothing, worthless, that is used for no good purpose or used in a manner that makes it false. What does that practically look like in our lives, to take the Lord's name in vain with our words? Well, the first way that we can violate the third commandment with our words is to attach falsehood with God's name. This can be done in several ways. It can be done through false oaths. This is something that we see in the Old Testament. When we swear by God's name that we're telling the truth, when we in fact are telling a lie, we are dishonoring the Lord's name. We're using it in vain. We're violating the third commandment. But also this can happen when we make a promise and we fail to keep it. we again are using the Lord's name in vain through false oaths. In the Old Testament, we see another example of this with false prophecy. False prophets in the Old Testament would declare, "Thus says the Lord," when indeed the Lord had never spoken to them. So to misrepresent the Lord, to claim that the Lord has spoken when he has not, is to abuse God's name. Now, when we think about false prophets, we might think that this is completely unrelatable to us. Yet we could make the same mistake that these false prophets made. This can happen to us at times. We can say things like, "God told me to do this," or "God wants us to do that," or "God did this for this reason." And I would personally urge caution about claiming divine authority and speaking on behalf of God. Now, let me be clear. I'm not stating that the Holy Spirit does not prompt us to do things, or that the Holy Spirit does not call us to say things at times. I'm not stating that the Lord does not clearly lead us at times in our life. But, as the book of Jeremiah reminds us, the heart is deceitful above all else. And it is possible for us to err in our judgment, to err in our discernment. It's possible if we want something badly enough that we misrepresent or misinterpret our own desire as an inward leading from God to advance our own agenda. So if we claim God wants us to do something or to say something, when he in fact does not, we are using his name in vain. So when we feel that the Lord is leading us to do something or say something, first of all, we should always test it with Scripture. For we know that Scripture is God's authoritative word, that it is trustworthy and infallible. And secondly, after testing it with Scripture, we are better off saying something like this: "I've spent time in prayer, and in my understanding or in my discernment, this seems to be the direction the Lord is leading me in." When we say something like this, it doesn't negate the fact that we feel like the Lord is leading us, but it does helpfully acknowledge the human element and our own ability to make mistakes by saying, "In my understanding, it seems," or "In my discernment, it seems." It makes it clear that we're not speaking on behalf of the Lord, but rather that we're trying to faithfully depend on him and discern where he is leading us. This helps us protect God's name from falsehood. So out of respect for God's name, we should be cautious not to attribute or associate falsehood with his name. Secondly, though, we also take God's name in vain when we use it irreverently. And this is typically what most of us think about with the third commandment. For many of us, even as Christians, we can frequently or daily use God's name carelessly, flippantly, or in a trivial manner. For example, we often use God or Jesus Christ as curse words or as exclamations when we're frustrated, when we're angry, when we hurt ourselves, when we stub our toe, or when we're surprised. We often will shout God's name. Or another example is how we casually or flippantly use the expressions, "Oh my God," "OMG," "God," "Thank God," "Good Lord," "Lord of mercy." Or in humor, we'll say things like "Praise the Lord," or "Thank you, Jesus," and we'll put our hands up. Yet all of this is using God's name in an empty and trite way. Now, some of us might be thinking, this just doesn't seem like a big deal, though. Aren't we getting a little too wound up, a little too legalistic here, making much ado about nothing, making a big fuss over such a small thing as our words? Well, what we must realize is while this may not be a big deal to us, I can assure you that it is a big deal to God. It matters to him how we use his name. This is why there's a warning that the Lord gives us in verse 7 saying, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." In fact, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 24:16, we read this: Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. For some of us, this still may sound extreme. Why is taking the Lord's name in vain such an offense? Why is it such a grievous sin? Well, let me explain by way of an illustration. A man by the name of Nigel Reynolds was the first journalist to ever interview J.K. Rowling about her new book, Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling, in appreciation for this interview, she sent him a thank you note along with a first edition copy of the book, which at the time was called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. This is the first book in the series. Now, even though there's a lot of excitement surrounding this first book, Nigel was sure that this book was going to be a flop. So he decided to throw away his first edition copy of this book. His appraisal of the book was that it was worthless, so there was no reason to keep it. Well, today, first edition copies of this book go for around $50,000. Talk about a big error in judgment. What he thought was worthless turned out to be incredibly valuable. Now, if Nigel had the foresight to realize that this book could be worth a lot of money someday, what do you think he would have done instead? Well, he probably would have kept the book. And not only kept it, but he probably would have protected it. He may have even put it under a glass case or something to keep it in pristine condition. So Nigel's actions, they say a lot about his appraisal of the book. Now, what we must recognize is that our words are reflective of our appraisal of God. Our words are reflective of our appraisal of God. So let me ask you this. What do your words say about how you value God? For if you use God's name lightly, emptily, trivially, then you're essentially communicating that your God is empty, insignificant, trivial. We need to recognize this. Our words communicate value. When we curse with God's name, or when we say OMG, we trivialize our God. We belittle his holiness. When we use God's name in an empty way, it communicates an empty value. Also, when we use God's name in an empty way, we're misrepresenting who our God is to others. We're saying that our God is not a big deal. Our God is not significant. Our God is not a God who is holy. Our God is not deserving of my utmost respect. In doing this, we're not ascribing to God the glory, the weight, the significance, the holiness that God deserves, that is owed to him. So when we think about the words we use, we need to ask ourselves the following questions. Is God honored in the way I'm using his name? Do my words bring weight and glory to his name in the eyes of others? Or does this contribute to others using his name lightly, emptily? So first of all, we are to obey the third commandment by giving glory and weight to God's name with the words that we use. Secondly, though, we are to glorify God's name in our worship. Yeah, this is a struggle for us. We, in several ways, use God's name in an empty way in our worship. This happens in our prayer life, especially with prayers that are routine. For example, think about when you pray before a meal or when you pray before you go to bed. We often pray God's name, but we often do it in a very empty way. We say words. We say God's name. We're not really thinking about what we're saying. We're not really meaning what we're saying. We're just going about it in a perfunctory, going through the motions manner. We're just quickly trying to check the box so that we can eat or so that we can sleep. We may also be guilty of this when we recite the Lord's Prayer. Sure, many of us, if you've grown up in the church, you might have it memorized. But at times when we recite it, we're not really thinking or meaning what we're saying. We're just reciting the words in an empty manner. Yet when we pray, we need to pray to God reverently. We should take a second to get our hearts and mind in the right place before we pray to God. This is why when Jesus teaches us how to pray, he teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Not "hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. John Piper, a pastor and a theologian, he put it like this. The whole-souled act of hallowing God's name is the most important act in the universe. To hallow means to sanctify, which in God's case means to set apart in your mind and heart as supremely great and beautiful and valuable. In other words, we are to admire and prize God's name above all things. So we need to ask ourselves some tough introspective questions. Does how we pray reflect the worth, value, and reverence that our God deserves? Or are we treating him like an Amazon box that has been emptied of its value and tossed to the side? Are we hallowing God's name, or are we hollowing God's name? Secondly, our worship is empty frequently, not only in our prayer life, but also our singing. How often do our lips emptily sing the words in our hymnals without even contemplating what they're saying? How often are we singing things like "praise God" without really even meaning it? Or how often are we simply just standing there and not singing at all? Our singing is frequently without any heart, affection, emotion. Yet worship, just like our words, communicates and expresses our values. It expresses our heart. And when our singing is empty, it is often because our love for God is empty. Our value of him is empty. And this leads us to take God's name in vain, because God's name is once again not being hallowed, but hollowed in our singing. Yet we must recognize, though, that our worship is not limited to our praying, singing, and church going. As one commentator, John Frame, put it, to use God's name is always an act of worship, whether in a church service or outside of it. Therefore, we should always use God's name in a reverent way. It should always be used in our adoration of God, in a way that brings God praise, glory, and weight. This leads us to the third point, and that we are to bring glory to God's name, not only in our words and our worship, but also in our ways. As I stated earlier, we like to typically think of the third commandment in a pretty narrow sense, in the sense that the third commandment only relates to our words. Yet the third commandment is actually as broad as life and its application. Let me explain. When God enters into a relationship with us, he gives us his name. We are children of God, and we now belong to him. And we now also bear his name in all that we do. That's why they call us Christians. We bear the name of Christ. We carry it with us everywhere we go. It is something that we represent. This is why Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this: "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever we do, in word or deed, we are to do in the name of Jesus. We must not fail to understand this. In all of life, we bear Jesus' name. We represent God. When I was in high school, I remember at one point I was considering getting one of those Jesus fish symbols to put on the back of my pickup truck. And I was talking with my older brother about it, and I expressed that my only hesitation to get one was the fact that my driving was not what you would say was always a good testament to my faith, since I was frequently, maybe, possibly, I will neither confirm or deny, most likely speeding. So I expressed that it was probably better that I didn't get a fish sticker on the back of my truck so that I wouldn't be a bad witness to God. And my older brother, being a good older brother, he graciously rebuked me when I told him this, and he wouldn't have any of this nonsense. He told me that it didn't matter if I had a sticker on my car or not. I represented Christ's name every day in everything that I did. It's not like I could pick and choose the times in which I represented Jesus' name and which I didn't. This is true for me. It's also true for you. Whether we recognize it or not, when we give our life to Jesus, we bear and represent Jesus' name in everything we do. This is why theologian John Frame, he put it like this: this commandment is not only speaking about God's name, but more broadly bearing it. Our identity is to be the people of God, and we take that identity with us wherever we go. Whenever we violate his covenant, we bring dishonor on the name of God that we bear. We injure God's reputation, his good name. So, any sin is a violation of the third commandment. So when we claim to be Christian, but we live as if we're not, we take the Lord's name in vain. We make his name empty before others. That's why, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. In everything we do, we bear God's name. So let us bring glory, or in other words, weight and significance to God's name in the manner in which we live our lives. We are representatives of our Heavenly Father. So in our work, let us work hard and honestly and compassionately so that we may give weight to God's name. In our retirement, let us not use our time simply for ourselves, but let us continue to live first and foremost for our God, so that God's name and not our own may receive the weight and the glory of our lives. In our homes, let us love our spouses sacrificially. Let us raise our children in the Lord. Let us use our words to build each other up instead of tearing each other down. And if we're children, let us obey our parents. Let us show them respect so that God's name may be given weight and glory in our lives. In our education, let us use the gifts that God has given us. Let us study hard and grow in wisdom and knowledge so that God may be glorified. In our relationships with others, let us always be gracious, patient, kind, and selfless, so that God's name may be honored and faithfully represented. In our driving, in our free time, in our hobbies, in our chores, in our eating, in our drinking, in our finances, let us give glory to the name of God. So we know that the third commandment calls us to give glory to God's name through our words, through our worship, through our ways. But why? Why should we give weight to God's name in our words, in our worship, in our ways? It is because there is no name that is weightier. There is no other name that is worthier. There is no other name that is more significant. There is no other name that possesses more value. God's name is the name that we should love above all names. For our hope in life and death is found in the name of Jesus. For in his name we are given life. It is by his name that we have been washed, sanctified, and justified. By the name of Jesus and his name alone, we are saved. So let us remember that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it is because of love that we obey the third commandment. It is because of love that we give weight to God's name in our words, in our worship, and in our ways. It is because of God's redeeming love that we not only have the ability, but the honor to love and proclaim the majesty of his name. So let us not use God's name emptily and lightly. For this is the name of our God. It is the name of our King. It is the name of our Lord and Savior. It is the name that is above all names. So let us instead ascribe to his name and his name alone all the glory and all the weight forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. And Lord, we confess that we struggle to use your name in a way that honors you. Lord, frequently we've emptied your name of its value, of its worth, of its meaning. We've used it carelessly, tritely, flippantly. But Lord, we thank you for the grace and the forgiveness that you give us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that our sins are washed clean. Lord, we thank you that you have redeemed us as your sons and daughters. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would make us more like your Son. We pray this morning that you would help us honor and bring glory and weight to your name. Lord, we pray that you'd help us recognize that we carry your name everywhere we go. So Lord, in our words, in our worship, in our ways, may your name be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.